about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I honestly think I'm swagging on a whole nother level. Like I'm swagnificent. It's gotten to the point where, you know what, I just gotta do it like this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Beautiful, beautiful. Excellent. Yes. All right.
My name is Maniac. By myself, I'm a happy motherfucker. Living life day to day, doing my thing, being happy, doing that she loves to do, being crazy, being timely, being happy. Yeah, most people think I'm on drugs because I'm always happy.
Are you on drugs?
No, I'm not. I'm high on life.
And now,
I guess so. This is a crazy world we live in.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, crazy world we live in indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. Good morning, Lisa May.
That girl's on drugs.
She's Come high on life, yeah. First of all.
I'm
she's high on life. Yeah, she's a delicate flower, that mm-hmm. one. It's Wednesday, yep. The 26th of March. Got a great show playing for you today. First, though, let me take you to Montreal.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Actually, no, it is Montreal this time, Monty. This is a bizarre story, and every once in a while I read a tale that involves this syndrome that the ladies get. This is the ladies who somehow are convinced that they're pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not.
Yeah.
And the lengths to which they take it in some cases, and I want to be delicate here because I'm not trying to make fun of mental illness, but what a bizarre story this is. Here's a guy named Paul Servat, 35 years old, met his girlfriend, Barbara, last summer online. They've been together ever since. She came to him in November and said, hey, good news, we're pregnant. He was over the moon, so excited.
Okay.
So the pregnancy goes on, and she gains weight, and she has morning sickness, and they start picking out baby names. And she, every time she comes back from the doctor for a checkup, she says to him she's having another baby. First she's having a kid, then she's having twins. Then she's having triplets, then quadruplets.
What?
Eventually, she tells him she's having quintuplets.
Does he not want to go to the doctor?
He did. I don't know, but that's a great question. Was he not there for any of those so-called doctor's visits?
Yeah.
So delivery day comes and goes. He goes to the doctor, and the nurse pulls him aside and says, she's not pregnant, dude. She's never been pregnant. What's that
wow.
do to his
okay.
life, by the way?
So is she – she's mentally ill and somehow creating some symptoms, right? But then
yes.
she's also plotting because she's saying she's going to the doctor and she's not.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe she's going to the doctor and every time she goes, they tell her, hey, lady, you're not pregnant. Go home. But for whatever reason, in her head, she's got it. She's got this phantom pregnancy. I mean – if you
wow.
see this picture, it's not just that she was eating a lot to gain weight. I mean, she looks pregnant. She's got the swollen belly. She had morning sickness. She began lactating, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
This says to me that she somehow was able to convince her body
yeah.
that she was pregnant, though.
The power of the mind, isn't it fascinating? I
yes.
mean, that she could mentally will herself to lactate.
Yes.
Stunning.
Yes. Because they could put you in a room for as long as you live, and
yeah.
you could not make yourself do that. So he obviously is just devastated, and it doesn't seem like this is just a scam.
No, it doesn't
you know,
at all.
He's returning all the baby gifts because, you know, they went to their friends and said, dude, we're having five. There's no way we can afford, you know, to get ready for five babies. And, you know, they had cribs all lined up and, mm-hmm. like I said, names and everything like that. And now, I mean, imagine him walking around the block at the hospital after he gets that news that she's not pregnant at all.
Wow. Well, don't you walk directly to the psych ward?
I don't know what you do. You try to get your lady some help. It's called pseudocesis, I guess is what it's called. The false belief that one is pregnant. Sufferers can exhibit all the symptoms of pregnancy, but with no baby. Symptoms can last for weeks, months, or even years. Psychological support, including therapy, is recommended. It's related, by the way, to a sympathetic pregnancy syndrome that men get sometimes, where they get weight gain, nausea, and their backs start to hurt when their partners are pregnant.
Yeah, I've heard of that. But I thought it was just an excuse to eat.
And not help, right?
Right.
So, Phantom Quince pregnancy devastates dad-to-be is the headline article of this
story.
Well,
you had to read that.
Bitches be tripping. Am I right?
Yes, you are absolutely right this time. So, ladies, don't do that, all right?
All right.
I promised you a terrific Kevin DeBean show, and I'm not lying, because the great Billy Eichner on the program today, he is Billy on the street.
Okay, I'm going to need the sarcasm to take a long walk right now.
No, I'm being serious. We're very excited about his show. This is a show where he goes out on the street in New York with celebrities and regular people, too, offers them money, plays games, and just screams at everybody. He's just another crazy person on the streets of New York, except he's made a TV show out of it. So Billy on the Street joins us later on today. Also, the smartest man in the world, Greg Proops, is going to be here.
Yeah.
He's way too smart for me. There will be five words used in the course of that interview that I will have to look up later after the interview. Adam Carolla on the program today. We got bunches of stuff to give away, including we got tickets for The Offspring.
Mm-hmm.
We have for you. We got tickets for Coachella that we have for you. We have tickets for the new Captain America film. Give you a chance. Ralph and his comic book geek friends will give you a chance to win that. Just a ton of stuff, and it's all straight ahead along with Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat, and that's next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. The Ataris on the world-famous KROQ. Yeah, you heard me. And coming up next, we'll play The Neighborhood for you. As you know, all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are giving out tickets to go see The Neighborhood. They're playing at the Greek on July 24th. Then your name goes into a drawing for a grand prize that we'll do on Monday morning to have The Neighborhood play not just in your neighborhood, but in your home for you and 50 friends. That's a house party right there.
Wow.
Anyway, your chance to qualify for that coming up next hour. Details at KROQ.com. So, Lisa.
Yes.
Did you think Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow were going to last forever?
Oh, that's a tough one. Because she's annoying. But I also like her in a way. I think her heart's in the right place, but
I think I'm on the same page as you. I think she is annoying. I think she is clueless as to how she comes across to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's out there trying to be annoying. I just think she's so inside her own head and inside her own lifestyle that she doesn't see how impractical or ridiculous it looks to the rest of people. So I know that there are a lot of people who would not want to date Gwyneth Paltrow for that, because she looks like she'd be a pain in the ass. Chris Martin didn't seem to be one of those people. He seemed to be completely enamored of her. And my impression over the past few years, they've been married for over 10 years, almost 11, is that they seemed very happy together. At least
family was very, very important to her.
Yes.
It's not like she was ignoring that and going off and doing all her own stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, she definitely cut way back on the acting and everything like that. And he seemed to take family very seriously and wasn't out on the road for years at a time. Definitely carved out, time for the family, balanced life.
Never heard anything about him, getting some strange.
Well, he got gooped yesterday. Here's the statement from Gwyneth Paltrow. The statement begins, "It is with hearts full of sadness that we have decided to separate. We've been working hard for well over a year, some of it together, some of it separated, to see what might have been possible between us. And we have come to the conclusion that while we love each other very much, we will remain separate." So I guess that's a preemptive statement to say this isn't a rash decision. This isn't something we just woke up today and decide we don't want to be together. It's something that's been very well considered, and we've worked on it, and it's just not happening for us.
"We will remain separate" makes it sound like they've been separated for a while.
It does, yeah. So Apple is 9, by the way. Moses is 7.
Yeah.
So it's sad. It's sad. I mean, I like, obviously we've had Coldplay on a bunch of times. Just had that secret show just last week here in town, and I feel bad for him. But man, is he going to get chicks now?
Oh my God,
he's freaking
ridiculous,
Chris Martin.
Yes,
a lot of girls are going to want to go after Gwyneth Paltrow. I'll tell you that.
That's true.
Other celebrity news this morning: Manticore is dead. He is, if you don't remember the name, he is the white tiger that mauled Roy of Siegfried and Roy back in 2003.
Yes.
Remember what a crazy story that was?
Yeah, and usually if that happens, the tiger would be put down. So it's kind of amazing. I mean, I know they worked really hard to save him.
He died a natural death.
Anytime there's some sort of an animal attack, sadly, even if it's not quote unquote the animal's fault, they usually do put it down. But in this case, I think you know, Siegfried and Roy said, "Look, this is our pet, and we're responsible for it." And
it mauled us.
And it mauled us, not somebody else. It might have been a different story if it had mauled somebody in the audience that night.
Right.
But for people who don't remember, that was just a crazy story. This was a couple of German guys who were one of the biggest acts in Las Vegas doing a magic act that also involved big tigers and I think they had leopards and some other animals in the act too. But one night, for whatever reason, this tiger that they'd had since he was a cub just attacked Roy in the face.
Yeah.
And we've not seen much of him in public since then, because I think he still has a lot of trouble speaking and maybe even trouble walking as a result of that. I mean, he had some pretty serious injuries, right?
Yeah. Multiple. I think he had multiple surgeries, didn't he? And
It was my great honor to be beside him at the end. He is now playing with his siblings in White Tiger Heaven, was the statement from Siegfried and Roy.
Aww.
So he was 17 years old. Oh, it says here that Roy had to have 25% of his skull removed.
Holy crap.
That's a tiger attack right
going
there.
Going through airports is no fun for him.
That isn't good for you.
Bugs, you had a similar amount of your brain removed, if I recall correctly,
How
right?
How dare you?
And finally, we were just talking off air about The Walking Dead. The season finale is this Sunday. Robert Kirkman, creator of the series, has already warned fans of the show that it is going to be a very disturbing episode, and it's going to give us a lot to think about while Walking Dead is gone all summer. And I don't know whether that means Glenn bites it or Rick bites it.
Oh, not Glenn.
I fear that somebody we love is going down when the group gets together at Terminus. I fear bad things are going to happen
Terminus
this Sunday
looks
night.
So creepy.
Terminus is too good to be true,
yes.
Isn't it?
Oh, of course.
Well, a Philadelphia brewery has created a new draft beer to mark the season finale this weekend of The Walking Dead. It's the Dock Street Brewing Company. We'll have to ask Ralph if he knows about this place. It's called the Dock Street Walker. Again, it's a Walking Dead beer. It's an American pale stout with just over 7% alcohol by volume, malted wheat, oats, flaked barley, cranberries. The cranberries, by the way, give the beer a kind of blood red look. And the extra special ingredient in the Walking Dead drink is smoked goat brains.
Oh, why?
The makers say it gives the beer intriguing, subtle smoke notes. It is quite possibly the smartest beer you'll ever drink, and in true Walker fashion, don't be surprised if its head doesn't hang around forever, how they describe it. I don't know, no matter how much of a Walking Dead fan you are, I don't know you want to drink with goat brains in it.
Not doing it.
That may be taking the joke too far, yeah. I think. Anyway, Walking Dead, Sunday night on AMC. Today's celebrity birthdays, some great ones today. Singer Diana Ross is 70. Singer Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, 66 years old today. Comedy legend Martin Short turns 64. Actor James Caan is 74. Alan Arkin, 80. Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock, 83 years old today, you
is
guys.
Is he really?
How about that? He looks good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Him and Shatner both signed some sort of deal with the devil to look as good as they do in their 80s.
Yeah.
Sopranos actor Michael Imperioli is 48 years old today. Guitarist James Iha, famous for the Smashing Pumpkins, turns 46. Country singer Kenny Chesney is 46 years old today. And Mrs. Mike Catherwood, Bianca Kalick, turns 37 today. And that's the Showbiz Beat on Hey, party people. Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, I promised you Offspring tickets. I'm giving you Offspring tickets. They're playing July 11th at the Pacific Amphitheater. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. Plus, K-Rock is throwing in a meet and greet with the band. If you love the Offspring and want to go, you're going to have to earn those tickets. We'll give you a chance to play a game. You can call right now, though, at 1-800-520-1067 to win from K-Rock. Well, it's almost that time of year, Lisa.
Yes.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Dodgers in town this weekend. They've already played two games in Australia, as curious as that is. The Angels are getting ready to kick off their season. It's baseball time. And there's an argument that goes every year around this time, which is, hey, baseball, speed it up a little bit.
It takes forever.
It is. I will say, and I'm a baseball fan and have been my whole life, and it's not a question of a bunch of scoring, because I have been to 1-0 games that have been some of the most exciting, great games I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. But when games get to be 3 hours, 3 hours and 15 minutes, 3 hours and 20 minutes,
yeah,
it does start to drag. And that's look, a lot of people are standing up and going, look, baseball is losing popularity. Basketball is popular. Football is the most popular sport in the world. If baseball wants to engage younger people in particular, they're going to have to speed it up. one of the people who's saying that, by the way, is the president of the Miami Marlins. This is a guy who's running a Major League Baseball team. He's in the sport. He owns a team. And he's saying, hey, the game needs to be sped up. It just takes too long for people to get up to the plate. Takes too long for people to change when they change pitchers. Speed up the game. I don't know what kind of plans he has, but we wanted to find out more about this because, you know, if this goes into effect and it works for them with attendance or TV ratings or something like that, believe me, you'll start to see this all around the league. Miami Marlins team president David Sampson on the line with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Mr. Sampson, thanks so much for carving out some time for us today, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So I summed it up for our listeners that you are one of the outspoken critics against how long it takes to play the average Major League Baseball game right now.
God, yes. God, this game just sucks.
What?
Well, wait, you're the president of the Marlins. You love baseball. You're just saying it could be improved by being faster.
Easy, easy with the love baseball thing. Okay, I'm a businessman. I tried to buy a football team. Couldn't. Tried to buy a hockey team. Couldn't. Tried to buy a basketball team. Couldn't. The only thing I had available was baseball. So let's ease off on the love baseball thing, okay? I wanted to be a sports owner. It's the only one I could get. Nobody wants to own a baseball team. You know why? The game takes forever to play. Forever. Oh, sweet Jesus. You can watch your fingernails grow sitting there in that park. I don't understand what you people love about this game.
Well, it's a great game, and it's a tradition, and it's something we've all grown up with and enjoy. All right, so you say, and I want some clarification on this quote. You're talking about picking up the pace of the game. You say, when a player dawdles at the plate or on the mound or entering a game from the bullpen, the matter will be addressed. Now, what do you have in mind? Are you talking about putting a stopwatch on your guys?
No, I'm talking about putting a gun on those guys, putting a rifle, a hunting rifle on those guys. You start to kick the dirt out of your cleats. You start to scratch. You start to fix your helmet and your gloves, or whatever. Then you see a red dot. You get like one of those red laser dots on your chest. You look down. You see that. You know, hey, come on, let's go. Move it along. Move it along.
I don't think you could actually pick off players from your booth during the game.
I don't want to pick off players, but get the goddamn game going. That'll fix them. That'll get them moving along. I think that's an excellent idea. Too much time spitting and scratching. It's a goddamn game. Play it.
Now, are you talking about perhaps fining the players? A lot of time a financial incentive will get people to do things that they otherwise wouldn't do.
No, I'm talking about napalm. I'm talking about setting them on fire if they don't hurry up. I mean, these guys, they don't understand money. They all got a ton of money. They're all spending on hookers and steroids. They don't care. What you need is to put them in physical harm's way.
All right, how long would you like to see a baseball game go? Let's say the average now is, 255, I think is what it is for your team last year. 2 hours and 55 minutes. What would you like to see that come down to, Mr. President?
45 minutes, an hour tops.
An hour?
Yeah. Here's my plan. Here's how we're going to move the game along. First of all, you now make the head part of the strike zone.
Okay.
No, you can't do that.
You take away those helmets, these pussies wearing these helmets while they're batting. The new rules. Three strikes, you're out, or one knockout, and you're out. Okay?
Okay. You're going to have a lot of guys with brain damage, though.
And your point is? Also, bigger bat and ball. Oh, my God. It's so hard to hit those little balls with the skinny, skinny bats. A bigger ball and a bigger bat, you get a lot more hitting.
So you just want it to be T-ball, basically. Every man who gets up at the plate hits the ball.
No, T-ball. Don't be ridiculous. But a pitching machine. Now, that's an idea. How much time does a pitcher take in between each pitch? Oh, look at this guy. Oh, let me look at that guy. Oh, what's the weather today? Who's in the stands? Oh, I'd like a bag of peanuts. Throw the ball! Throw the damn ball! If you got a machine, if you know those pitcher machines, boom, 45 minutes, we all go home. Say, what else do we need? Too many goddamn bases in this game. Too many bases. Oh, let me run to first base, second base, third base. One base. One base.
That doesn't make any sense that every hit would be a home run.
You got a home plate, and you got one base on the other side of the field. In between you and that base is the pitcher, and the pitcher gets to hit you with a baseball bat if you try to run past him.
This is completely different.
You run
this is
going to
be a very different
game. And then
you
run back home again. Boom. One run. Let's go. Let's go home.
I have to say, Mr. President, it would not be baseball, but I think I would still watch.
Did I mention setting people on fire?
No.
Yes, you did. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Kevin Bean Show, 638.
That was incredible.
Thank you.
You are overflowing with talent, and I admire you.
Thank you, Billy Eichner. Billy on the Street himself joins us in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. First, though, how about a pair of tickets for you to go see The Offspring July 11th at the Pacific Amphitheater? Legendary Orange County band. You get to see the band in the pit. You also get to meet and greet the band. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster if you want to see The Offspring July 11th. We're going to give you those tickets right now if you win a game we like to call The Hardest Game in the World, Part 2.
It's The Hardest Game in the World 2. The Revenge of the Game Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Uh-oh. This time it's personal. Mr. Announcer Man, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So, first of all, the hardest game doesn't sound easy.
The hardest game in the world isn't easy. The hardest game, too, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo, is even harder.
All right, we got a bunch of contestants on the line. They're dying to play. They're all Offspring fans. They want to win these tickets. How's this game going to go, Mr. Announcer Man?
Well, it's simple. We'll play for you Offspring songs. All you need to do is identify what song we play.
That does sound easy.
Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot. They'll be backwards.
You can say that so sinisterly. All right, so we're going to play a clip for you. We can only play it one time. It's an Offspring song that you know and love that you've heard here on K-Rock. Just identify it by title, and you are in the drawing to win tickets to see the Offspring and the meet and greet backstage with the band. Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Ted. He's an analyst. He likes anal.
Ted, does he have that right? Are you an analyst?
Pretty much, yes, sir.
Yes, okay. All right. I expect loves the anal.
Expected analyst, but okay, that's fine. All right, listen up again. We can only play it once. What is the title of this song by The Offspring?
Come out and play.
What's the verdict on that? Is it? No, I'm sorry. We were looking for Self-Esteem this time. Thank you so much for playing. Mr. Announcer Man, who's next?
Next up is Alex. He's a security guard. Freeze, Jive Honky.
Hi, Alex. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, listen up. Here's your Offspring song. Give us the title, please. Ooh, what do you think?
I'm going to say Gone Away.
I'm sorry, the kids aren't all right. Mr. Announcer Man, this game is not easy.
These songs all sound alike.
I know.
Well, they kind of sound alike forward, too, but that doesn't mean that
problem.
Offspring fans shouldn't know.
No, my problem may be that all these goddamn songs sound alike.
All right. I'm feeling good about our next contestant. Who is he or she, please?
Next up is Mark. He's an engineer. Woo-hoo!
Mark, how'd you do on hold listening to the first two contestants who failed before you?
I'm 1-1.
Okay. All right. Good luck. Listen up. I think you have a good point, Mr. Announcer.
These songs all sound alike.
I'm sorry, no. It's a bad habit.
Okay, thanks
for the call.
Pretty hard to tell these songs apart, I think.
We need one person to do this.
So, yeah, we're just trying to get someone just in the drawing so someone can win tickets, see the band in the pit, and backstage passes. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Steven. He's in heating and air conditioning. Ooh, it's chilly.
All right, Steven, tough game here this morning, but it is The Hardest Game in the World, Part 2. Listen up. Here's your song.
Yes, the only song I was hoping for. Pretty Fly.
Yes.
Yes! All right, you are in the drawing. That was like a psychedelic mind trip, wasn't it? I thought I was dropping acid listening to that backwards. All right, sir, well done. You hang on. You're in the drawing. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Carol. She's in marketing, which I guess means she works at a supermarket.
Carol, is that right? You work at a grocery store?
Yeah.
Well done, Mr. Announcer Man. All right, we only have time for two more contestants. You're the first one, Carol. Here's your song. Good luck. What say you?
Oh my God. The kids are all right?
No, I'm sorry. We were looking for Days Go By this time. Days Go By. All right, one person in the drawing, Mr. Announcer Man. We got room for another. Who you got for us?
How about Sylvia? She works at a call center. Hello, my name is Sylvia. How can I help you?
Sylvia, are you calling us all the way from New Delhi? This is incredible.
Yes.
All right. Well, good luck. I hope you make it back in time to see The Offspring on July 11th. Listen up. Here's your song. All we need is a title.
Come out and play.
Yes. Yay! I got to tell you, that one kind of sounds the same forwards as backwards, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Sylvia or who is it? Steve? Is he the guy? All right, Lisa May. Only one can win. We've got backstage passes, meet and greet with the band, and you get to see the group up close and personal in the pit July 11th at the Pacific Amphitheater. Tickets on sale now. Who wins, please?
Steven is the winner.
Yay! Steven!
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for playing.
That was the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo.
Okay, bye.
Coming next summer, the hardest game in the world, 3D.
See you later. Woohoo!
Fire Beer Mug. Indeed.
Gotta keep it tight. Billy Eichner, Billy on the Street himself, joins us on the Kevin Bean Show right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph Garman's here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Yeah. Is it wrong to take pleasure in other people's misery? Is schadenfreude a failing of humanity?
Technically, yes.
I'm just giddy.
You can't help it, can you?
But aren't you a little sad for Chris Martin, though, Ralph?
No.
You can be happy that Gwyneth is sad, but are you happy that Chris Martin, our friend from Coldplay, is sad?
Am I sad when someone I like is given a pardon by the governor and is let out of the electric chair? Sad about that? No,
I'm not,
sir. No.
So you have his best interest at heart. Now that he's single, that's better for him, you think?
Yeah. It happened on Goop, like all good things. Goop.com, Gwyneth Paltrow's newsletter. The statement reads as follows. It is with hearts full of sadness that we have decided to separate. We have been working hard for well over a year, some of it together, some of it separated, to see what might have been possible between us. We have come to the conclusion that while we love each other very much, we will remain separate. Because Gwyneth pulls into traffic in a Vespa with her children dangling off the back, said Chris. No. The couple recently celebrated their 10th anniversary. They do have two kids, Apple and Moses. And I'm assuming they will remain the best of friends and raise those kids the best to their ability.
Well, that's what celebrities do, is they remain the best of friends. People always break up because they get along great.
Just good for you, Chris. Just go live your life without Goop. That's my advice to everyone. Try to live a life without Goop. Sad news. Montecore, the legendary white tiger that mauled Roy of Siegfried and Roy. He's passed away at the age of 17. This Roy, he's a more forgiving cat than I could ever be. Just loved that tiger to death, even after it sunk its fangs into him and dragged him off the stage.
Yep.
Here's what he had to say. The world has lost one of its most majestic creatures, and I have lost a brother. A brother who almost tore my head off with his sharp teeth. The tiger, who was still part of the show's, the duo show at The Mirage, passed away after a short illness. Here's the thing. That tiger, when it trashed Roy Horn, eventually Roy had to have 25% of his skull removed.
I had no idea.
When that attack happened. Roy says now, regarding Montecore's death, I feel like a part of me is gone. Yeah, 25% of your skull. That's what's gone because of the tiger. Oh, I would keep that tiger alive afterwards just to kick him in the ribs every day after he took my skull out.
Lisa and I were reminiscing about how insane that night was where that happened. If you recall, Ralph, it was, you know, in a show, a Vegas show with an audience just a few feet away from this tiger mauling a guy on stage. I mean, this could have been so much worse.
Yeah. Roy has always maintained that the tiger thought he was helping Roy.
sensed a stroke is what his
theory
was,
pulling him to safety, yeah, because his high blood pressure made him dizzy, and so the tiger was trying to help and was dragging him to safety by his head. So, look, whatever it's worth. Montecor, at the age of 17, you will be missed. This is kind of cool. If you're looking for something to watch the season finale of The Walking Dead, and you want to have a little cocktail while you're watching, well, then I think you need to go to my hometown of Philadelphia and pick up a new brew from the Dock Street Brewing Company. I know Dock Street very well. I've enjoyed many of their beers. It's called the Dock Street Walker. It is brewed specifically to celebrate The Walking Dead. It's an American pale stout. It has malted wheat, oats, flaked barley, and cranberries.
Apparently, sounds good so far.
It's delicious. The cranberries give the beer a kind of blood red look, which is, of course, appropriate. Oh, and there's an extra special ingredient, smoked goat brains.
Yay!
So you can eat the brains while you're drinking the beer.
No.
The beer makers say it gives it intriguing, subtle, smoky notes.
No.
Come on, drink some brain, won't you?
I'm not really under... I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
I'll go on a potter bus with the brain beer.
Let's give...
Oh, hell no!
Let's give Kevin some brain beer and see what happens. Maybe he'll get smarter. You don't know. And, oh, freaking hipsters. First with their monocles. Now it's the Birkenstocks. Birkenstocks are hip again. Birkenstocks, the favorite shoe of lesbians everywhere, is now so ugly it's cool, according to fashionistas.
So I'm not wearing my Uggs anymore?
No, now you're wearing your Birkenstocks. It's chic and trendy. I don't think I've ever seen a pair of Birkenstocks, but they're like wood, right? They're like they wood sandals with a strap across them or something.
Lisa, this is your area. Tell us about Birkenstocks.
Never wore Birkenstocks.
You came as a lesbian to that Halloween party. You must know about Birkenstocks.
No, that's when she had keys.
Birkenstocks, I mean, they were kind of sandals, right? With the strap across, and they sort of, I think they had the kind of the negative heel so that your foot was in a more natural position.
I think everything about those shoes was negative. they're back. And apparently they're very hip and trendy, and everybody is wearing them now. So they're not just for lesbians anymore, boys and girls. Put your monocle in and put on your Birkenstocks, and then just walk right up the Santa Monica Pier.
They're especially cute with socks.
Oh, I'm looking at them online, by the way. They're like $100, Birkenstocks.
Well, sure. You don't get, that kind of fashion for cheap, my friend.
Hey, I read an article yesterday, Ralph, about the hot new class of people that has replaced the hipsters, the millennials, and the Generation Y.
There's something hipper than hipsters?
Yes.
Oh, they're going to be so miserable.
Those are the yummies. Have you heard about the yummies?
I've not heard about the yummies.
Yummies are young urban males, and it's apparently a new fashion class of young single guys who are into fashion and have money to spend, and they're called yummies, and apparently that's who...
You.
Yeah, that's apparently who Madison Avenue is going after big time now.
F you, yummies. Now, these are different from the metrosexuals?
Yes, they are. They've replaced the metrosexuals.
Oh, thank God. Someone had to.
Yes, they're into men's fashion, I guess. So yummies, apparently, is where we're at now.
Yummies.
Lot to keep up with.
Fashion is BS, just across the board.
Yeah, they just change it every year, so you have to buy new
stuff. Whatever they decide. People say, oh, okay. What, Birkenstocks now are cool? No, they're not. They're hideously ugly. Monocles are stupid. Stop it. Stop doing what they say, people.
This is why I win. I'm a guy who's been wearing the same shorts and T-shirt for 25 years.
Look,
because I'm always out of fashion, but at least I'm just comfortable in wearing what I like.
With whatever you like and you go with it, I applaud the fact that you stick with it. I mean... Look at me, I've worn the same leather jacket for 40 years. But
yes.
I mean, just find what you like and go with it, because if you try to chase what they tell you, you'll go crazy.
Yes, absolutely.
You can't keep it straight in your head.
And spend a fortune.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Will you stop it with that?
Today's celebrity birthdays, look, I'm not even going to give you their ages, because it's just nuts who was born today. Everybody was born today. Leonard Nimoy, Alan Arkin, James Caan, Diana Ross, Steven Tyler, Martin Short... This sounds like a lineup at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Lisa Gibbons, Jennifer Grey, Michael Imperioli, James Iha, The Smashing Pumpkins, formerly Kenny Chesney, actress Leslie Mann, T.R. Knight, rapper Juvenile, Amy Smart, Bianca Kalik, Mike Catherwood's lovely wife.
Mm-hmm. So we're just naming all the celebrities now.
Keira Knightley.
Dude.
and my daughter Olivia.
Oh, it's her birthday.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. So
get her some Birkenstocks.
I'm going to get her some Birkenstocks and a monocle. She's got perfect eyesight, but I'm going to put a little monocle on her eye. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Lollapalooza tickets for you later on this morning's show at 9 o'clock. Also tickets for Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Adam Carolla joins us later. And the smartest man in comedy, Greg Proops. That's all coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa, you ready for the loudest man in comedy, Billy on the Street himself, Billy Eichner, who joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Billy.
Hey, how are you guys?
How's it going, man? Congratulations on the return of Billy on the Street on Fuse Wednesday nights at 11, Season 3 in full effect. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. We got a big show on tonight. It'll be our third show of the season. We got Neil Patrick Harris and a really crazy thing we did with Lindsay Lohan.
And, I was surprised to see Lindsay.
I'm
excited, too, and I have heard nothing. You've really kept this under wraps about Lindsay. I got to be honest. I don't know Lindsay, but she doesn't seem, how can I say this, quick enough to be able to play the kinds of games you play on your show.
Well, I think you're going to be surprised. I mean, the honest truth is I don't really know her that well either. I mean, I didn't know her at all before she did the show. But we have a lot of great guests on the show this season. We got Amy Poehler and Seth Meyers and Paul Rudd and Lena Dunham and all kinds of people. And we heard Lindsay was a fan, and she was a fan of Funny or Die that produces the show. And we pitched her this really crazy idea. It's a very unusual segment for us, and she said yes. I was really shocked that she said yes to doing this.
Oh, I can't wait.
And she came, and, you know, she was a little late, but when she showed up, she really gave it her all, and it would actually, what we asked her to do would be hard for anyone.
Wow.
It required some physical strength and some screaming and yelling. And I think people are going to like it. I'm really fascinated and interesting to see how people react tonight because no one's seen it. No one knows what it is. And
you've definitely kept it under wraps. That's for sure.
Yeah, I like it. You know, we'll see.
You know, it's funny. When you say it's something different for your show, that's really saying something because you've done some crazy. I mean, just last week you had an old woman milking a cow on a New York City street. I mean, it's hard to get much weirder than that.
Well, weirder, and it's hard to get hotter than that. You know? I mean, it's just really hot. But tonight it is. It's very physical, and what Lindsay and I do is very destructive, shall we say. That's all I can say about it.
Well, I've seen you destroy a lot of things on the show, so I can only imagine. So, Billy, tell me if I'm a bad person. I love the show, but I almost feel like 30 minutes of Billy on the Street is like it's like a super rich fudge that I can't sit down and eat all in one sitting. You know, I almost have to break your show up and
I mean, why am I on this call? I got up at 2 in the morning? I don't even know where I am.
It's 2 a.m. That's right. It's exactly 2 o'clock. No, I'm just saying the show is so good, but so rich and so filling that I have to break it up into increments, and it takes me about 5 days to get through one of your shows. I can only take so much Billy is what I'm saying.
Wow. Have you ever watched, like, Breaking Bad or, like, something actually complicated? Well, you know what? I'll take what I can get. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a compliment.
It is very much a compliment.
We try to jam-pack every show with a lot of stuff, you know?
Yes,
and,
you do.
Every segment's really different, and it's very high energy. We're running around the streets of New York, and you never know what's going to happen. And, yeah, I mean, I kind of like that in a way because I guess that means it shows that, you know, we know what we're doing. If you think that it's all so good, you can't savor every morsel in one sitting.
That's right. Now, is it different for you now that the show's been on for a while and you're so popular and so famous? And, of course, now we also see you Thursday nights on Parks and Rec, and you're great on that show as Craig, too.
Oh, thanks.
Is it different for you now? Are people starting to recognize you as the guy with the microphone rather than just you're some weirdo freak on the street, which is what it seemed like the first couple of seasons?
Oh, well, thanks. I think, you know, right now, first of all, I'm not that famous, so that helps. And I think right now what we discovered this season, in filming for this season, right now we have a good mix of people out on the streets of New York who know me, but still a ton of people who don't know me at all. You know, there's a lot of people out there, And, you know, it's nice when people come up to me. They want to talk to me. They like the show. But those people, sometimes those people want to be contestants on the show. And that won't ever happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't. You have to. Just, the element of surprise is what makes it so great to put them on the spot and ask them to name a dead person or something for a buck.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I'm really, what people don't realize sometimes is, you know, a lot of these reality shows or, you know, other game shows that have this ambush feel, they're actually all very scripted in advance. Like, the people are cast and they're waiting there to be ambushed, et cetera, et cetera. I won't mention any names, Cash Cab.
You don't have to, because I know you're talking about Cash Cab that beat you out for the Emmy, and clearly those people are pre-screened.
Yeah, those people are pre-screened, which is fine. You know, it's a great show. I think it's canceled now anyway. Who knows? But, yeah, our people, the contestants you've seen the ambush on Billy on the Street, what you see is what you get. We go out there. We pick a neighborhood to go to every day. I have some questions to start me off in my pocket. And then from there, I just go with my gut instinct about who to ambush. They're not prepared for it, and neither am I. So you never know what's going to happen. And what the hell was your question again?
I actually didn't have a question.
You said are people recognizing me? Right.
Yes, that's so, where we started at. You're right.
Sometimes people recognize me, and I love, you know, that's great. It means people know the show, and that's a great thing. Those people won't end up on the show as contestants as much as they want to, and there's still plenty of people who don't know me. So right now, it's a good mix.
It was weird. It got real. I can't remember if it was episode one or episode two this year, where you stopped that guy in the street and you were doing a quick interview on him about his romantic life, and you were trying to get him to identify whether he was gay or straight. And it just took a surreal turn because he wouldn't answer that question, and it seemed like that really upset you, Billy. You're a perfect stranger going up to this guy on the street and asking him to explain his life. What was going on in your head, dude?
I think whatever I did made perfect sense. I went up to some guy the way I always do. We were playing, there's a game on the show called Quizzed in the Face, which obviously is like a bit of a double entendre, but like, you know, it's not a sexual game in any way.
No, not at all.
It's just a trivia game. We just call it that. And I went up to him, and one of the questions I always ask people, you know, the fun of the show is that I go up to some stranger on the street. So many different types of people in New York, you don't know who they are. You really can't judge a book by its cover. Like, that's one thing that this show has proven to me. You never know. And so, beyond the trivia questions and the pop culture stuff, sometimes I like to find out a little bit about the person. You know, it's interesting to see, you know, are you married? Are you single? Do you have kids? What do you do? You know, I'm kind of fascinated by what people do, you know? So I asked him a question I would ask anyone, and he didn't seem particularly gay or straight.
No,
guy.
Not at all. But man, he shut down though, didn't he?
What was that?
He shut down though when you got to that part. He was just,
yeah,
I mean, he,
and it was very
he
early.
The interview.
We don't even get to the game. And yeah, I asked him if, I said, gay or straight? I said, are you dating? And he said, I think he said he's single. And then I said, oh, gay or straight? And he said, oh, I don't want to talk about that. And then I pressed him on it because I don't understand why. Because I'm gay. I always talk about it. Just not a big deal in my world. And it's New York City. Like, what the hell's the big deal? You know, so, and
it
I asked him,
weird.
And then at the end he said, oh, well, you know, I don't want to talk about it. That's not fit for public consumption. Huh. And then he walked away from me. He walked away and he quits the game, and I screamed out, gay, 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 and I ran away.
Gay, gay, gay. That's gonna be the most famous clip from your show, I think. It was just a weird moment. And you're right, it was just an insight into the psychology of a random person on a New York City street in 2014. It was a very strange, real moment.
And you won't get that anywhere else because no other TV show would have probably put that guy on the air.
Billy Eichner on the phone with us here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. We're talking about Billy on the Street on Fuse Wednesday nights at 11. We talked a little bit about Lindsay Lohan on the show tonight. Before you go, Billy, I want to play a clip because I think this is so great. This was already up on Funny or Die this week of you on the street with the great Neil Patrick Harris talking to passersby in New York about the end of his show, How I Met Your Mother. And you're just running down the street with NPH, and it's great.
Yeah, well, he's doing Broadway now. Jason Segel's doing movies.
Well, you're going to go to a fancy Broadway show? You're going to leave me with f***ing Mike and Molly? What am I supposed to watch now, The Crazy Ones? I need characters to root for!
Sir, How I Met Your Mother is ending.
good.
Oh, you bastard! Homophobe! Homophobe!
You see what I mean, Lisa? The man is exhausting but hilarious. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Billy on the Street tonight at 11 and every Wednesday night on Fuse. Billy, it's always great to have you on the Kevin Beach. I mean that. We're huge fans. Come back anytime, sir.
Thank you. I did this interview completely nude in my bed.
Oh, we're happy.
That makes it even better. Thanks, Billy. The Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air right now at 323-520-AFRO. It's our 24-hour-day voicemail. You can leave us a message anytime with comments about the show. In fact, we're getting some complaints because Dave, the King of Mexico, Clippers fan number one, is the guy who puts together the birthdays for Ralph's showbiz beat. That's what caller number one is about today.
Clipper birthdays 2 days in a row? What show is this? Why is Dave getting all the same? What's going on? Dumb. Stop it. Stop reading them, Ralph. You have a choice to read it or not. Stop.
I think it's difficult for a lot of people to accept that there are Clippers that are stars now and people like them and are interested in them. It's not what we're used to with our Clippers, that's sure. For sure. St. Patrick's Day, we had a little bit of an earthquake, if you'll recall, and I think this person's doing some great play-by-play of that event.
Oh, sh**. Oh, God. Did you feel that? Oh, my God. Holy sh**. Oh, sh**. It's moving. I can't believe the ground is moving. Did you feel that? Holy sh**. Oh, God. It's rolling. No, no. Now it's rocking. No. Now it's rolling. Holy sh**. Oh, God. It stopped. Thank God Harvey's okay.
Harvey Levin, of course, you did say the S word twice during the minute that the earthquake happened on our show. By the way, here's a tip for everyone. Nothing is more boring than telling people where you were when an earthquake happened and what it was like for you.
Oh, that's
nothing.
True.
Occasionally, once in a great while, you will hear me click on a mouse on my computer during the show. Occasionally.
Once in a blue moon.
And I believe this caller is taking issue with that.
Yes. Hi, Bean. Is it possible for you to get the microphone closer to the mouse so I can hear the clicks a little bit better? I can still hear voices and people talking. If you could just get the microphone closer so I can just hear the clicking for the entire show, that would be great. Thank you very much.
Done and done. I don't care enough to do the follow-up as to what's happening here, but it does not sound like the Armenian comedian was having a good day when he called.
Dude, I just swallowed my own tooth.
Oh, my God.
Last week, we did a segment on unusual beauty tips, things that people do. Now, Lisa, I was out. I was on vacation. But was there something about rubbing blood on your face?
Yes, and it was, at the beginning of that time of the month.
Oh, no.
That's what it was, yeah.
Well, I think that's what's going on here.
Okay. Let's do a reenactment. So how do you keep your face clean? It's how you keep it all nice and soft. You don't have any wrinkles. Well, the first day of your menstrual cycle, you take your blood and you rub it on your face.
No, indeed. And one more on that topic.
My wife has the most beautiful, soft skin on her face, and now I'm terrified!
We have a guy who calls the Kevin Beat Afro line. He usually has it in for Kevin. We call him Angry Afro Guy. He's very upset with all of us on the show for some reason or another. We don't know why, and that's what this caller is calling about with a theory.
You ever think Angry Afro Caller Guy is just angry because you suck?
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but that's very possible. Here's a great idea for Beer Mug.
Beer Mug? Just look at the flowers, man.
Right? Walking Dead fans, you know what we're saying? Just look at the flowers. Here's another great idea.
There's a cough button? Why isn't there a beer mug button?
Amen. A mute button for beer mug is a great idea. Several listeners took exception with the interview we had yesterday with little Leah, our little 11-year-old Dancing with the Stars correspondent. I was mentioning that her crush, Cody Simpson, on the show, could pretty much nail Aaron Andrews if he wanted to. She was definitely under his spell in the post-dance interview. Mm-hmm. A lot of people thought maybe that wasn't an appropriate conversation to have with an 11-year-old.
Wow, you guys are so much creepier when your caller is an 11-year-old girl.
One of many calls that are just fans of Lisa May.
Lisa May. Shut up when I'm talking to you. Shut up when I'm talking to you.
Okay.
Doing a remake of your greatest hit there, Lisa.
Yeah.
Here's someone who's a fan of one of your old traffic personas, Lisa Lert.
Hey, Lisa Lert. You're alerting something in my pants. Talking about my
okay. Yeah.
Thank you for the clarification. You I was so it. Confused.
Also, last week we were talking about Shane Woodley, very popular, very attractive young actress from Divergent. She was talking about what a nature hippie she is and how she likes to just go outside naked and get the sunshine up in her vagina. And I think that's what this call's about.
Hey, Lisa, I want to give you some vitamin D for your vagina. You know what I mean?
I think we know. And finally, a request.
Hey, can you guys play the clip of Ralph telling Kevin military time, and he has to translate it into like 12-hour time, and he changes the hours and he changes the minutes? All right, thanks.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
What's 12:07 in military time, my friend?
Say 17:09. Huh?
17:09.
What? Hold on.
What?
I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But
that wouldn't be 17 either, would it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was a moment with
Kevin. We missed the monkey. 323-520-AFRO. That's the number. Call us 24 hours a day. It's the Kevin Bean Afro Line. We'll be right back on camera. Hey, you want to win tickets to all 3 days of Coachella? It's right around the corner. You know, we got them for you at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we'll talk to comedian Greg Proops coming up at 8. That's all on the way. First, though, Lisa, you watching Cosmos Sunday nights on Fox?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
I love that show so much. It is a miracle that a show about science could make prime time on a major network in 2014, isn't it?
It is, but it's so well done.
It is so well done. Neil deGrasse Tyson, of course, is the host. Our friend Seth MacFarlane is the producer, the brains behind it. There's a little bit of controversy, though. As generally well-received as the show Cosmos has been, there is one group that is not excited about it, and that is the people who do not believe in evolution.
Yeah.
Now, as they talk about on the show, as they talk about the early days of the universe, you know, the Big Bang and then how life came to Earth, and they talk about how, you know, these are our footprints back when we were still in the water, and then we stood up and we parted ways and we evolved. And there are people who are like, hey, what about those of us who don't believe in evolution? Where's equal time? Why aren't you letting us on the show so that we cover all the viewpoints? Our viewpoint has value, too, don't you know? And this is serious. There are a lot of people out there with this point of view. Answers in Genesis is one group that has been very vocal about this, doing interviews all over the place. And Danny Faulkner joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Faulkner, thank you so much for the time, sir.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Cosmos is a ratings sensation, but you're not happy with the science as it is being presented on the air. Am I right, sir?
Oh, so-called science, that's what I say. What about evolution and the other facts in the Bible that are poorly misrepresented by this so-called science program?
Well, I can't speak for the show Cosmos, but I guess what they would say is the Bible isn't a science book.
Or is it?
It's not?
Well, I would beg to differ. There's plenty of science in the Bible if you just look in the right places. There's plenty of mathematics, for example, in the Bible. Oh, Noah took upon his ark two of every species. Two! That's a number. That is science.
Well, okay, if you believe that that story is true,
There's nothing to believe. How do you think all the animals survived the great floods, my friend?
Well, Look, I wasn't there, but I don't think
they
got
on the ark!
I don't think there was literally a flood that flooded the entire earth and killed off all the animals that weren't on a boat. I don't think that happened for real,
well,
sir.
Let Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Let Mike Tyson figure that out on his television program. Where is that ark, and how did they fit all those animals on there? Now, that would be interesting science to find out how they fit all those animals on there.
If it really happened. But we got that Noah movie coming out. You can protest that instead for a while.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that, because that is science. That is entertainment and science incarnate, combined.
So,
how about turning wine into water? How did that happen? That would be an interesting science experiment. Take some water and make wine out of it, just like Jesus did. Why don't they spend some time with that kind of science? I think Mr. Wizard would be good doing that one. Bring him out and have him take some water and make wine out of it and say, here we go, science.
But I don't think there's any scientific proof that that ever happened, that anybody has ever been able to turn water into wine.
Oh, that's funny, because I remember hearing in the Bible that Jesus turned water into wine. And He multiplied the loaves and the fishes. Multiplication. That's science right there.
Okay. What
and
is
how
it
about he... Jesus? How about God making the world in 6 days? That would be an interesting miniseries. How did that happen? He made the animals. Where'd he get the fur from? Because there weren't no animals to get fur from like they do now. You just go to an animal and you take its skin off and you got fur. Where did that fur come from? Was it outsourced? Did they have to go to Indonesia? Did they have to go to Bangladesh or something and have people working and then making the fur coat to put on the animals? I mean, there's a lot of work into making the world, and I'd like to know how it happened. Science.
Okay, but it didn't happen in 6 days. You understand that they can test the Earth. They can prove that it's millions and millions of years old. They know that, and that is a fact, and that is science, and that's what they're putting on Cosmos.
Or God molded man out of clay and blew his breath into him and brought him to life. Science.
And you feel that that point of view should be represented on a TV show about science.
And how did man make dinosaurs into pets? They were wild animals, and yet man comes home from a hard day's work and a dinosaur runs out of his house and starts licking him all over, and then he and his neighbor go bowling at the Buffalo Lodge.
What?
How did that happen?
I think that's
Mr. Faulkner. That's
science.
That's you've been watching the Flintstones. It's just the cartoon.
Science.
Hey, quick reminder, if you've not yet picked up your tickets for Kevin DeBean's April Foolishness 2014, it is fast approaching in a couple of weeks, Saturday, April the 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. Great lineup again this year. Jim Jefferies and Patton Oswalt and Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie F., Taylor Williamson, our friend Mike Realm doing the in-house VJing. Tickets are on sale now. Proceeds to benefit Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Ralph Garman, you can get some seats for as low as $25.
Ah, get a dozen at that price.
And all the proceeds.
Give them out to your friends. Come on.
All the proceeds, of course, going to those great local charities. It's the best night of comedy you'll see anywhere on stage, anywhere in Southern California all year long. And tomorrow, if I understand, if it goes through, if we're allowed, if we have permission, tomorrow I think we're giving away a balcony for you and your friends to come to the show with us. How about that?
Like a suite, like a box kind of deal?
Yes, I think so.
That would be the party, right?
Exactly. So that'll be tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Looks like we have a final analysis of the horrific car crash that killed movie star Paul Walker. The science indicates that it was speed and not a mechanical failure that caused the crash. Roger Rodas, the driver, was, according to the CHP, going between 80 and 93 miles per hour when he lost control going around a curve and crashed. There was an additional circumstance that created the crash, according to the people who are able to figure this stuff out. The car had its original tires on it, which were 9 years old.
Oh, wow.
And they seemed to think that those original tires on the car had hardened, which means they
didn't grip
lost
the
traction on the road more easily. So it was a combination of speed and the fact that the car's tires were not attended to properly that created the perfect storm that led to that crash.
Is someone getting sued, Ralph? Do we know yet?
Doesn't say. These findings are brand new, so I'm sure as we go forward, we'll find out what's happening. But got to be careful when you drive. Ask Lisa. She'll tell you.
That's true.
Horror has a name, and that name is Suzanne Cobb. For those of you who don't know the name, I didn't until a minute ago, but now that I know it, I'll never forget it. And I won't cease until she's brought to justice. Suzanne Cobb is the president of E! Entertainment.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She's a bad
lady. She is a bad woman. And she just announced at the upfronts, as they're called, where they announce all the upcoming television for the new year, new TV year, that is, what's coming back in E! And what they have on tap for us. Well, first things first, a second season of Rich Kids of Beverly Hills has been announced.
Stop, you crazy bitch.
Really?
It's been renewed.
What could those ratings have been like?
I can't imagine. Rich Kids of Beverly Hills is coming back.
Have we broken the news to LaQuisha yet?
I don't think so.
I hope she's not listening. She doesn't need to hear about this yet.
Let's just wait as long as we can. Let her find out on her own.
She is not going to take it well.
There's going to be a new Kardashian spinoff. Kourtney and Khloe take the Hamptons.
Okay. When are the teenagers getting their own show, by the way? That's inevitable, right?
Sure, it's a matter of time. There's also going to be a new show called Dash Dolls,
This will explore the Kardashian sisters' pop-up stores and those who work there, the staff at the store that the Kardashians own. It won't even be the Kardashians. It'll be the people who sell the clothing at the stores that the Kardashians own. And there's going to be a brand new unscripted series on E! Following the lives of spin instructors. Kill yourself. Kill yourself now if you work for that network. Everybody just jump out the windows. Read this. Read this story about the work that you're doing and realize you're going to make a series about the lives of spin instructors.
That's a bunch of hogwash.
And, of course, they will do a series of programs leading up to Lance Bass's wedding. Oh, come on, E. You're not even trying anymore.
Do they have the Kim and Kanye wedding?
Oh, yeah. That'll be part of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
That'll be
a ratings grabber.
That'll probably be a three-hour special over multiple nights, I imagine.
Speaking about those Kardashians, good news is the ratings on that show are at an all-time low. So maybe people are getting tired of the Kardashians. Yeah. However, more E! Controversy. You know Joan Rivers has that show Fashion Police on E! Yeah, everything you say about E! Just makes it worse every time you talk about E! Joan Rivers has a show on E! Called Fashion Police. Joan recently did a comedy sketch, a parody of Kim Kardashian's sex tape with Ray J. Why so soon, people are asking. Fresh as today's headlines, Joan did a sketch with Ray J where they pretended to have a be filming their sex tape. Well, Khloe Kardashian was supposed to be a special guest host on Fashion Police, but she just canceled. The shoot was for today, and she pulled out. Just like Ray J, she pulled out. And she won't be participating any longer, throwing that production into a tizzy. So it's just chaos over there at E. Just madness.
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
How dare you say that?
I'm sorry, Joan.
Aren't you amazed? I mean, it's how stupid can somebody say that?
Sorry,
son of a bitch.
I'm sorry. I did.
So is Kris Jenner on the phone with your lady at E right now, demanding that Joan Rivers be fired for disrespecting the Kardashian family? You bet.
I'm sure something's happening over there. That's all kinds of crazy.
Hey, where's Bruce or Brucette? Where's his or her show?
I don't know, but that's a show. That's the one show on E I would watch.
Right.
Growing Up Bruce or Bruce Grows Boobs or whatever that they would
whatever it's going to be, right?
Be on there. You know, it's so funny because I wanted to love this sketch because it makes fun of Kim Kardashian, this thing Joan Rivers filmed, and then I watched it, and you've just never seen anything so not funny in your life. Talks about how she likes to go. Ray J's like, yeah, older women know what they want. She's like, yeah, I want to go to dinner at 4:30. It's like, see, because she's old and she likes to eat early.
Right.
I find that despicable. No. I find that disgusting.
I'm sorry, Joan.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
Did Joan Rivers just spit on me?
I think so.
Is Don on the phone? Today's celebrity birthdays. I couldn't begin. It's just, there's so many. I'm not even going to give ages. I'm just going to run through the list of people born on this day, March the 26th. Leonard Nimoy. Mr. Spock. That would be enough. Just if I told you that, it would be a day of note.
He looks incredible, by the way. How old is he?
He is 83 years old.
Incredible.
Yeah. He's suffering from lung problems, though.
Too bad.
Yeah, he's got, not OCD, he's got OCPD,
I know,
OPCD.
I know the thing you're talking
COPD.
About.
COPD. KCOP. Anyway.
That's Channel 13, I think.
Oh, that's right. He's 83 years old. Alan Arkin celebrates his 80th birthday today. Then you got James Caan, Diana Ross, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, Martin Short, Jennifer Grey, Michael Imperioli, James Iha of Smashing Pumpkins fame, Kenny Chesney, Leslie Mann, T.R. Knight, Juvenile the rapper, Amy Smart, Bianca Kalick, Keira Knightley, and Jonathan Groff all celebrate their birthdays today. It's madness. It's just madness. I don't know what was going on 9 months ago from this day, but just people were just humping like crazy. Humping. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got Coachella tickets for you. In about an hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and the great Adam Carolla joins us next hour as well. Welcome in on a Wednesday morning. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the smartest man in comedy. Our friend Greg Proops back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Greg.
Good morning, Bean. Good morning, world.
Hello.
How are you, buddy?
I'm real well. How about you?
I'm doing fine. I was intrigued to see your – we got a lot of ground we got to cover in the time you have, Greg. But okay. I was intrigued to see your latest special, The Live at Musso and Frank, because that's the fancy-schmancy restaurant in Hollywood, one of the oldest in Hollywood, right?
It is. 1919, Charlie Chaplin used to eat there.
I went there for my one and only time at Musso and Frank's was for my one-year wedding anniversary. I thought it was an appropriate place to take my young bride.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very fancy, and it was very, very nice. And it's old. I mean, that's old school Hollywood. That's, I feel like you're walking into The Godfather when you walked into that place.
Oh, it's where the mafia had their prom. You know what I mean? And the menu is fantastic, as well as the delicious steaks and all that jazz. They have, like, sweetbreads and Welsh rarebit.
Wow.
Stuffed celery. When was the last time you had stuffed celery?
Never.
Your mother used to make you stuffed celery, you know?
That is a rare item in any restaurant, that's for sure. So it's not the type of place that immediately and automatically comes to mind to film a comedy show.
Oh, no. It's not an obvious... You know, we didn't want to do it in a club or theater and have the usual where a guy's standing in front of a set with a bunch of random junk behind him.
Yeah.
And my manager went there for one of the Munchkins, was doing an event, one of the living Munchkins. I don't mean an actual Munchkin, although it would be awesome if there were actual Munchkins. I actually believe there are actual Munchkins, but I digress. And he called me the next day and he goes, because we'd been looking for a venue, and he went, I've got it, Musso's. And I was like, I love it. So we had lunch with the owner, Mark Echevera, and he let us do it in the back room there. We had a little jazz band. We had all the waiters working. We served martinis and steaks and the whole thing during the show.
Cool.
And all I had to eat was, I think, a slice of pizza and a martini. It was the morning. So as you know, mornings are harsh. The sun shines. There's birds and other vermin swooping around. And so it was quite a day, man.
So you're there doing jokes while people are literally getting their iced tea refilled and having mashed potatoes and whatever else goes on, right?
Well, you can see the waiters coursing around during the show and stuff like that. Yeah, we wanted to do it like a Goodfellas style, like you said.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? So that's why you see guys walk by in a gold coat. And I have Sergio, the waiter, introduced me there. He's worked there for like 30 years. Ruben, the bartender, was on. He's worked there for like almost 50 years.
I heard some of those waiters interviewed recently, and most of them should have retired long ago, but they just won't. They love it there. They love their customers and what they do.
No one ever retires from Musso's. I think you just end up in a farm somewhere, like in the CIA. People have worked there since time began.
Yeah.
When the earth was a swirling ball of gas, that's when people got a job there.
How did you stock the patrons? Was it just whoever happened to be coming by for lunch that day, or were these your people?
No, we did it on a Sunday when they're closed. This is how old school they are. They're closed Sunday and Monday, because who wants to work? We have a five-day week here. No, it was like invitation. I had a bunch of friends there and comedy friends of mine that I know that are in comedy world. And you can see my wife and, you know, a bunch of my friends. At the beginning of the special, I get up from a table and just start. And I'm sitting with, you know, Fee Waybill from The Tubes. He was there.
Of course.
Richard Marks was there.
Oh, no kidding.
Richard Marks.
Yeah, man. Fee and Richard are songwriters together, and so there was an awesome classic rock element. Lorraine Newman was there from Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
That's hilarious. This is the most random assortment of people at a comedy special ever.
Isn't it?
It's $4.99. You can get it through gregcroops.com right now. Is it worth $5? I mean, would you go so far as to say $4.99 is actually a bargain?
I was laughing last night about that with Doug Benson. I was on his show. We were like, are people really fooled when you say $4.99? They're like, this is like $4, but with 99 more cents. Like, I think it'd be worth $5. And you can get it. You could get it for 20% off if you typed Proops in. I don't know if you still can. That brought it down to $3.99.
Oh, that is a deal now.
Now you're just giving it away.
I know, right? I might as well stand on the corner and just recite it.
I know that some comedians they need hard times for the act. They need a little bit of tragedy in their life. It kind of fuels their jokes. You had a rough launch of this special. It was not smooth sailing to bring Greg Proops live at Musso and Frank to the people, was it?
No, it was not. Thank you for asking. There was a lot of steeples and obstacles in the way of this. We were going to be on an entity called Chill.com, where Maria Bamford and Ari Shaffir and a lot of great comics had put up their specials. And the week that we were supposed to do this, which was, I think, last year, October, Chill folded.
So, oh my God!
Yeah, they literally were defunded immediately. I got a phone call. I was like, "Hey, no," and that was the whole phone call. So I wept bitterly for about 30 seconds, and I was like, you know, and I had done so much publicity at that point. So then we finally found another platform for it, and there was all sorts of stuff that happened last summer before we shot it that I won't go into, but it almost didn't happen 1,000 different ways. And I felt like Roy Scheider and all that jazz. I just wanted to look up at heaven and go, what's the matter? Don't you like stand-up?
You know, Patton's last special, and Patton Oswalt is going to be joining us, and next week he'll be in here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He did the exact same thing where he did all the publicity in the world for a show that was supposed to premiere on Epix, and then it just didn't play for whatever reason. They just boofed at the opening. It just never aired.
Oh, my God.
And he was just like, what the F is going on here? And I guess
when you get away from the old paradigm of my specials on at Comedy Central at midnight, and you start getting out into some of these other platforms, maybe there is a little bit of growing pains to get everything working just so.
That adds that air of excitement, Bean. When you wake up in the morning,
you
don't know what your destiny is going to be that day. This is the second time we've launched it, and GD it, we're launching today.
This time it's for real. Yeah. This time you can actually see it. Greg, you do your obviously very popular podcast, your Poopcast, I should say, all over the world. I noticed that you got dates coming up in like Stockholm and Paris and places like that.
Yeah.
Your stuff just plays everywhere. Everywhere they speak English, you can go. You're a draw over there as well?
Absolutely. It's great fun. Because I did Whose Line Is It Anyway? And by the way, Whose Line's back on the CW, and I'm on the first few episodes, so get in there while you can. Drew's not on it now. He's busy doing Dancing with the Stars. But we still have the bald guy and the black guy.
As we refer to them.
And the tall guy. I've never learned their names. I only worked on the show for 25 years. dead weight. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a husky in the Iditarod. I'm going to Paris, London, Helsinki for the Arctic, the first annual Arctic Circle Comedy Festival. I have no idea what that's going to be like. And then Amsterdam, which I know what's going to be like.
Yeah. Yes.
I can get people to come out and see me in all these places because, you know, the podcast is global. You podcast and you know that people listen to you all over the world.
Right, right.
So it's great fun to go to all these places.
I bet you're building some extra time into your schedule for that Amsterdam date, though. That is not fly in the afternoon and fly out the next morning, is it?
No, we'll be in Amsterdam for 5 days.
There you go. Do you try to do that for all the locations?
Well, Helsinki's 3 days. I think that's all you need. And Paris only 2 days this year, which is unfortunate because I really love Paris. I take my wife with me, and then I dump her in Helsinki, and I go to Amsterdam on my own.
Of course.
No, Amsterdam will be 5 days because, you know, you want to saturate yourself in the culture.
Sure.
You really want to go. A lot of great museums. I've not been to them, but I hear they're there, and I think it's fantastic.
You think you'll go this time?
Oh, sure.
That's what we're calling it, culture. The culture.
They're museums. They're like little places where people get together and have coffee and smoke. It's really
it's very
interesting. You can see all these different exhibits. They have behind this plastic thing, horticulture. You know, you see lovely green things growing there. And
fabulous.
And little brown bricks and whatnot. It's really a really interesting time there.
I may join you for that one, Greg. Actually, that sounds pretty good. Greg Proops live at Musso and Frank, recorded just down the street. You can get it for only $4.99 at gregproops.com. More with our guest in a moment right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, that's me. Captain America, the Winter Soldier, is the latest in the franchise. It's going to be coming out in theaters on Friday, April 4th. You get to see it on Wednesday, April 2nd at the AMC Century City 15. We got a game that you can play if you want to call right now if you're a Marvel Captain America fan. We're looking for you to be a contestant at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get that going here in a minute. Speaking of movies, Greg Proops is our guest in studio. His latest comedy special is called Greg Proops Live at Musso and Frank. You can get that on his website, gregproops.com, right now for under $5. And you got a relatively new podcast on films, Greg?
I do, Bean. Your inquisitive tone leads me to... Yes, I was doing it on The Smartest Man in the World, my other podcasts, which are both available free on iTunes, or you can go to gregproops.com. If you don't want to spend the money on the movie, you can go to my website and download free podcasts. And then we decided to split it off and do the film club on its own. So every month I go over to the Cine Family on Fairfax over here in Hollywood and show a picture. Last month we showed Rushmore. This month on the 31st we're showing, that's what it is.
That's right. Monday, March 31st.
Monday, March 31st, we're showing The Wonder Boys with Michael Douglas, which is a very funny movie.
Wonderful.
Now, The Wonder Boys is a movie that I remember loving at the time, but I bet I haven't thought about it since then. I should totally revisit that film. That's one I should see again, isn't it?
It is, and thank you for saying that. That's kind of what we try to do, is think of movies that people... first of all, I only show movies that I like. I'm not going to show a giant Holocaust film or anything like that, because we're trying to keep it fun. But also, pictures that people like... people hadn't seen Rushmore in a long time. We showed Annie Hall last summer, and the place was packed for Annie Hall. And I think a lot of people had never seen it in a movie theater. We showed What's Up, Doc? At Christmas, and the joint was jumping to see a Barbara Streisand movie from 1972. And the place was howling, you know. So I think great movies really stand up, and The Wonder Boys has a terrific script. And it's Michael Douglas playing against type. He's not the usual type A hole that he always plays. He's a stoner professor in this one. And you get to see Robert Downey Jr. play a gay literary agent.
That's so, right. Yeah. Yeah, I totally forgot. And that's the movie that has the great Dylan song in it, too. Things have changed from that, too, right?
He won the Oscar for that, if you can believe it.
That's right. Now, are you bringing back the joint was jumping, or has that never left your vocabulary since the 70s?
Well, Kat, I've talked this way a long time. That's why we shot at Musa's, because I say cat sometimes to the audience, and the audience looks at me, and I go, I don't mean cats, I mean people. I mean actual people.
When you talk about these movies, is it almost like you're laying out like you would in school if you were a professor teaching a film class? Is it almost like you're talking about the themes of the film and what to look for in the movie that you're about to see, or is it not like that at all?
I drink vodka on stage, and I have a giant desk and an enormous globe that has a decanter in it, so I can open it up anytime I hate the crowd. I just sort of dissemble and riff and go backwards and forwards on it. I don't always start with the actual movie itself. I'll talk about lots of other things that are going on, and like I did Point Break, and if you want to download that one, it's free. And with Point Break, it was sort of like I just did this thing about, you know, out of the South Pacific in a catamaran came Kanu, and you know, she came rolling up and the coconuts flew, and you know, then if you ever want to see someone throw a scissor kick wearing mom jeans, it's Pat Swayze who's dominating the universe. And so it's more like that than an actual school dissertation. It's more credit, no credit.
Now, are there, I'm fascinated with a guy like you, and let's face it, you are the smartest man in the world. So can you enjoy, like we're talking about the Marvel movies, can you go to Iron Man and love it or no?
Yes, I watched Iron Man on the plane on the way home. Even though Gwyneth was in it, I still made it all the way through.
Good.
I've never understood Gwyneth in a movie. Why not just have a potted plant or something? You know what I mean? Something useful as well as decorative.
But there are some people who say that this is the first time they've actually liked her in a movie, and that I've even heard people say they don't think she's attractive, but somehow she looks sexy in the Iron Man movies. You disagree?
Well, I don't know. You know, she has her own special charm, I suppose. The reason I think her performance was better, and that is that she doesn't cry, which she does in basically every other movie. Any Gwyneth Paltrow movie at one point, yeah, and that's all you get, really. And then there's the sulking and the moon calfing. I like Perfect Murder, but she kills Michael Douglas in that one.
So. Oh, that's right.
But
hey,
her outfits
spoiler
are really
alert,
cool.
By the way.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to blow it. It's called Perfect Murder, you guys.
So there are such things as, because this is there are a lot of people who get their heads up their ass about movies and feel like they can't like a blockbuster. If something is too popular, therefore it can't be good. I've never subscribed to that at all, and it doesn't sound like you do either.
Well, no. I mean, I like shallow entertainment as much as the next person.
Okay, good.
Maybe not every next person. No, Iron Man was fun. I thought the Shane Black script was good and everything. Like, I'm not going to see every Avengers Assemble movie because I'm not high enough all day long to enjoy them. But I think with the right amount of dabs, anything is quite entertaining. I like old movies on TV, and like, you know, I'll watch like old Bruce Willis movies or Kurt Russell movies till the end of time.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sick with it.
was movie something for you as a little kid that you instantly gravitated to?
Well, I grew up in the 70s. I don't want to date myself or anything, but so it was. There were so many, you know, it was Godfather and Three Musketeers and Reincarnation of Peter Proud and Young Frankenstein. Those are the movies I grew up watching. So, yeah, I always loved pictures because they're better than life, and that's what makes movies so good.
As the smartest man in the world, though, shouldn't you watch more foreign movies?
We should have watched foreign movies at the film club. We've got Le Samurai and Eyes Without a Face. We're thinking about a Kurosawa movie, and my wife said something really heavy. I can't remember, and I was like, no, I was thinking like Hidden Fortress, which is the one where all the Star Wars riffs are taken from. So yeah, I like the foreign pictures as well. They're harder to get to see because the distributors in this country don't let them out much anymore. You used to see a lot more French films over on Wilshire and stuff, but they don't.
The Greg Proops Film Club, by the way, as you mentioned, you can listen to any of them for free on iTunes or through gregproops.com, but you can also go in person if you want to see Wonder Boys and also see Greg talking about Wonder Boys. Tickets are just $12, available through cinefamily.org, and that's going to be next Monday, March 31st at 7:30 p.m. And then the Greg Proops Live at Musso and Frank is available now at gregproops.com, and that is only $4.99. Greg, it's always great to catch up with you, man.
Thank you so much for having me on, man.
Thanks for coming in.
I'm just saying that Chris Evans is kind of dreamy. That's only my point, is that he's a good-looking guy.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Marvel's Captain America, the Winter Soldier in theaters everywhere on Friday. April the 4th, but you can see it early on Wednesday, April the 2nd at the AMC Century City 15. I want to say that's next Wednesday. You get a chance to see it if you know your Avenger. Big red boots, brown.
Almost hit some of those notes in that song.
Almost,
yeah,
yes.
Impressed.
Ralph is here. You got your geeks on the phone. Lots of beautiful, attractive women,
Stop
I'm sure,
it.
Ready to play the game. How does Know Your Avenger work today, Ralph?
Well, of course, Captain America, perhaps the most famous Avenger of all time. I mean, let's not forget, it was the Avengers, the original Avengers, who rescued Captain America from that iceberg that he was held in suspended animation all those years after World War II.
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
I mean, they rescued him. They brought him back to life, and he joined the Avengers as a fixture of that team off and on throughout all these many years. 1964 is back when Cap first joined the Avengers in Avengers number 4.
Obviously.
So in honor of the Avengers, I'm going to take a look at all of the members of the Avengers over the years. I will ask you a trivia question, and then you simply have to answer that trivia question about that Avenger. And then I think we have 5 pairs of tickets to give away.
That is correct.
So
yes. So if you get the answer right, you win the tickets to see the film ahead of its opening in theaters. That's
Sweet.
Right. So let's see which lady we want to go to first. Well,
Stop
line
it.
One is a guy. It happens to be a man
Look,
this time.
Many women call, but they just don't get through because the phones are so busy. Okay.
No, sure. Sure. Because women don't know how to dial. Right. They can't get in. Angel, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. You're contestant number one to play Know Your Avenger. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, Angel, here you go. Henry Pym, Dr. Henry Pym, was one of the original Avengers as Ant-Man, of course, back when the team was first formed. Since then, he had 4 other superhero identities. If you can name me just one of them, you'll get a pair of tickets.
Ant-Man, you said?
He was Ant-Man. Henry Pym originally was Ant-Man. Then, throughout the years, he's been 4 other superheroes. Just give me the name of one of those 4.
Oh, man. Let's see. The Bees?
The Bees. No, I'm sorry. He wasn't the Bees. He was also a Giant Man, Goliath, Yellow Jacket, and the Wasp. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Angel,
yeah.
You're a terrible person, but thank you for calling. Ralph, why was one guy so many superheroes?
Well, Henry had some problems. He had domestic violence issues, and he was a villain for a while. He had to reinvent himself several times. So.
Okay, all right, we're 0-1 so far. Let's go to Jason. He's up next. He's on line 2. He's next to Know Your Avenger.
Jason,
yes, sir.
Do you know
yes,
your
sir.
Avengers?
I would like to think so. I knew the last one.
Okay, well, in 1965, this brother and sister team joined the Avengers, and it turns out they're the children of Magneto, the bad guy from the X-Men. Do you know both of the names of this brother and sister team?
The Scarlet Witch.
Right.
And Pietro.
Yeah, his superhero name, please.
Wow, you're asking a lot here, Ralph.
Well, no, he's known as a superhero.
I know. He can run super fast.
Yes, he can. What's his name? I'm sorry. Quicksilver is what we're looking for. Quicksilver and Scarlet
so
Witch.
So close. So yeah. close.
Both of those characters will be featured in the new Avengers movie, by the way, Age of Ultron. So.
All right. Let's see what hot lady we got. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Julian. Julian is up next on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Julian?
Hey, how's it going, Ralph?
Good, sir. An android member of the team of the Avengers married the Scarlet Witch, who we were just talking about, when they were working together, the Avengers. What is the name of the android Avenger?
The Vision.
The Vision is correct, sir.
Woo!
Yes, well done.
Well,
Thank
very
you.
Well done. All right, you've won your tickets. You're going to see the movie ahead of the opening on the 4th. Let's go to Corey up next, line 4. Now we're on a roll.
Now we're
hitting
on
our
roll.
Stride.
Yes.
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Kevin and Bean, Rob Garman.
Hey, Corey. In the new Captain America movie, looks like we're going to meet the Falcon, Cap's longtime sidekick. The Falcon himself, a member of the Avengers off and on throughout the years. The Falcon works alongside in the comic books with a sidekick Falcon, an actual bird that he has trained. He shares a mental connection with this Falcon. Do you know the name of the Falcon?
Hawkeye?
No, I'm sorry. Red Wing. Red Wing is what we were looking for.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right, well,
get him, Red Wing. And Red Wing comes down and scratches their eyes out and everything. It's the best.
Nice try there. Thank you, sir. Javier's up next. He's on line five, Ralph, to know your Avenger.
Javier?
Yeah. Garmy Strong. What's up?
Sir, how are you? The first African-American member of the Avengers was this leader of the fictional country of Wakanda. Do you know the name of the superhero?
Yeah, Black Panther.
Black Panther is right, sir. Well done.
My fist is in the air. Well done.
Yeah.
All right, we got two callers left. They're both named Christian. Up first is Christian V. He's on line six.
Christian V. Christian?
Yo.
Do you know your Avengers?
Yes, sir.
All right. This beautiful woman, Jennifer Walters, shares some of the powers of her cousin, Dr. Bruce Banner. Do you know her superhero name?
Oh, hell yeah. She-Hulk.
She-Hulk, indeed. Is there a hotter green woman on the planet than the She-Hulk? I would say no.
Why isn't she in the new movie, Ralph? Then you'd have me.
I'd love to see her in the movie. She gets naked so much.
Thank you, Christian. Let's move on to line seven. Our final contestant to know your Avenger is Christian P.
Christian?
Yeah. Hello?
Hey there. Rhodey Rhodes, buddy of Iron Man, also is a superhero in a suit of armor. He was in the West Coast Avengers for a while as this hero.
War Machine.
War Machine is correct, sir. Well done.
Congratulations. You're going to see Captain America the Winter Soldier next Wednesday ahead of the opening on Friday, April 4th. Thanks to you and thanks to all the ladies who called to play Know Your Avenger.
I said, are you going to name that Avenger?
That is a Fantagram, Fall in Love, here on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. By the way, Lollapalooza announcement made this morning. Those details are out. You can find those at KROQ.com. And closer to home, Coachella tickets for you just after 9 o'clock this morning. Give you a chance to win those. That's on the way, plus Adam Carolla. And Ralph, the King wants me to remind you that, speaking of Captain America, the Falcon is going to be here on Friday. We're talking to the Falcon on Friday.
That's right. Oh, I can't wait to talk to the Falcon.
The Falcon, as he calls him.
Anthony Mackie, who plays Sam Wilson, the Falcon, in Captain America: Winter Soldier.
Is he going to have? Is he going to have the bird you talked about?
Red Wing.
Have
that? Come on, Red Wing.
Is Red Wing going to be in the movie too?
I think so, man. You know, I have all some experience with Falcons myself.
Yes, you do.
I've worked with trained Falcons too, so
sure.
I
know
could have been
like
the Falcon.
You could have been the Falcon. Yeah. Sure. Hey, time for the showbiz beat, though. That's what you're doing instead.
Speaking of Cap, Chris Evans, who plays, of course, Captain America in the Marvel film, says he'll be retiring from acting after the series ends.
What?
What?
No way.
When he's done being, he's finished.
Should I just finish? Are you ready to move on? Sorry.
When he's finished with the Captain America franchise and the Avengers franchise, that'll be it for Chris.
Why?
He told Daily Variety that he's always wanted to direct films. That was always his goal. Never really wanted to be an actor.
Okay.
That chance never happened. So when he wraps up the three films he's committed to as Captain America, he's going to put his acting career aside and try to become a full-time director. I think he also feels that he is now Captain America. That is his imprint on film. And anything he does after this will be either compared to or in comparison of, and there'll be typecasting involved. So this is his big hit. And then he'll move on and direct, and I guess he can always come back if he changes his mind afterwards. When he gets older and fat and grows a beard, he can be a character actor.
Sure. Or something. But there are lots of actors who have played iconic roles that have then gone on to do many other great parts, too, though. I mean, Tom Hanks didn't quit because he was Forrest Gump, and Russell Crowe didn't quit because he was the Gladiator.
It's
different
when you do a superhero.
Is it?
I mean, Christopher Reeve, a good actor.
Right.
After Superman, every movie he made, it looked like Superman playing somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, we have yet to see what Robert Downey Jr.'s career will be post-Iron Man. You know, the Sherlock Holmes movies were successful, but even those were sort of big, iconic characters. Can he go back just to play a reporter in some little crime drama without being compared to Iron Man? I don't know.
Right.
Wait and see. I mean, Christian Bale, he'll always be Batman to a certain number of people, so I think it's when you play a larger-than-life costume character, it does tend to haunt you a little bit.
So. Is this why you turn them down when they keep coming after you for all those Avengers roles?
Yeah,
just like,
no.
Shoot your career in the foot?
I don't want to be Hawkeye. I don't want to be Yellow Jacket or the Bees. I don't want to play any of those superheroes.
Got to get some more information from that caller about the bees in the Marvel Universe.
It took 40 years, but Kiss has finally made the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Yay!
There's legendarily been sort of a beef between Rolling Stone and Kiss. Jan Wenner. Not a big fan. Remember, he was famously the one saying they should never be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and stuff.
I mean, right.
Going back and forth. But they are on the cover, and it's a vintage 1975 photo of the original lineup that will be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next month.
Just yeah, so they just have Peter and, Peter and Ace then are on the cover, even though they haven't been in the band for years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's weird to see the classic 1975 lineup for a photo from 1975 on the cover of Rolling Stone, but I guess that is the Kiss that most people think of when you think of Kiss, right?
Kiss.
Hey, don't get me wrong, all right? I like to rock and roll all night, part of every day.
Party every day. Rock and roll all night, party every day.
I like to rock and roll part of every day.
Party every day.
I usually have errands. I can rock and roll from like 1 to 3.
Yeah, 1 to 3. It's about the time. Kiss will not perform at the ceremony because apparently Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley wanted Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer, the current members of the band, to perform. And Peter Criss, the original drummer for the band, said, "How can you put me in the Hall of Fame and then tell me to go sit over there in the corner while another guy puts on my makeup and plays?"
Yeah, this is ugly.
Yeah. Ace Frehley said of Gene and Paul, "They no longer deserve to wear the paint."
That's right, man. Can't wear the paint.
Just Kiss, man. Wow. Stop it.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Race war.
It's on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Race war.
Yeah.
Race war's on, everybody.
Absolutely.
It's going down. It's going down. Race war.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're right.
Race war.
Yeah. That's why I didn't want Ace in the band anymore, because he's black.
He's down on the phone.
Lollapalooza, you're just mentioning that, Bean. It's heading south. Did you hear about this? South America.
Yeah. What? Tell me more.
Besides its usual summer place at Chicago's Grant Park, which is the famous location for Lollapalooza, the festival will also visit Santiago, Chile this weekend. And then that'll be followed by 2-day stays in Buenos Aires and Sao Paulo as well.
Nice.
The lineup for all three cities includes the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nine Inch Nails, Soundgarden, Arcade Fire, Pixies, and Lorde. So we'll taste a Lollapalooza down in South America. That should be cool. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock himself. 83 years old today. Live long and prosper, Mr. Nimoy.
We last saw him on Fringe, right?
Yes, he was.
And the Big Bang Theory, too, if I recall.
That's right. He did a little turn on that. Of course, he was in the big Star Trek reboot and showed up in the sequel as well. Alan Arkin's 80 years old today. James Caan turned 74. Diana Ross is 70. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 66 years old. Actor Martin Short is 64. He's another guy who just won't age. Those little elf guys never seem to get any older.
Right. That's true.
Jennifer Grey, nobody puts baby in the corner. She's 54 years old. Michael Imperioli of Sopranos fame is 48. James Iha, formerly of Smashing Pumpkins, is 46. Actress Leslie Mann turns 42. Juvenile is 39 years old. Amy Smart is 39 as well. Bianca Kalik, not only a lovely and talented and funny actress in her own right, but she has the great misfortune of being married to Michael Catherwood.
That can't last, right?
No, it shouldn't.
She's going to have that baby and then get both of them the hell out of there.
Yeah, yeah. That's just a rescue.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, giving away Coachella tickets every morning, weekdays at 9, and every afternoon in the weekdays at 5. This time it was Scott Tanner from Orange who won those tickets, so congratulations. Thanks so much for listening. Hey, Lisa May, I'm coming to town tomorrow. I'm going to be in Los Angeles, Southern California.
I hear I will be dressing appropriately, which is to say a lot of layers.
How
dare you?
Because
you like it cold.
I am going to be at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center tomorrow night with my good friend Adam Carolla, who is on the phone. This is the podcasting benefit, legal defense fund benefit show that you've been hearing so much about over the past couple weeks. It is finally happening. There are still some seats available. Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. It's going to be Kevin and Bean in person. The Police's Andy Summers is going to be there performing. Our friend Doug Benson is going to be there. Mark Maron. Did I hear some talk that Mr. Kimmel is going to be stopping by as well, Adam?
Yes, you did.
This sounds like fun, dude.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show, and all the proceeds are going to the Patent Troll Legal Defense Fund, so it'll be a good
time. I know it's for a very serious reason that you're having us all together, but it's also going to be fun, especially for me who never sees anybody in person. Like, I literally don't remember the last time you and I were physically sharing space together, so it'll be nice to shake your hand.
We're going to share more than space, my friend. We may share spit.
All right, go to adamcarolla.com. Again, Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Some seats available right now. That is going to be tomorrow night. It is going to be a great show for a great cause. And you can find out more about what Adam's trying to do legally at fundanything.com/patent troll. Right now, though, it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at 3 and working up to number 1. First off, I went on my bi-decade, actually, trek to buy some underpants the other day. Was looking at the boxes and staring at the boxes that the underpants come in. Had to get my jeweler's loop to find out what size they were, because they don't really advertise that part. It's just Marky Mark wearing the tight shorts on the front, and you stare at it, and then you have to get the jeweler's loop out for the fine print, which is at the top, which actually tells you what size you fit. But then I started really thinking about it. They use the same model on the size 28 through 32s as they do on the ones from 44 to 52.
Well, how is that possible?
Look at the underpants. Look at the box. You go look at those underpants boxes. You see the model that's on the front of that box. They don't have a fat guy from 44 to 52. But they should have, they never show the guy's face. They just show, you know, from the knee to the top of the hip, and the guy's got the six-pack abs. On the 44 to 52, there should just be a fat dude, and there should be a beer in that shot. You know what I mean? Just by his hip. First off, it'd be a hell of a lot easier to pick out your size, because you just go, I don't look like, oh, okay, that's me. That's the one I look like. Yeah, that's John Goodman over there. That's who I, so first off, they shouldn't all look the same, number one. Then, number two, it probably motivates you to get a little exercise. Because if you're right, like, Jesus Christ, this is what I look like in my underpants. If this is a realistic depiction of me in my underpants, I got to get home and do some crunchies. I'm just saying, new rule, they got to have the underpants model to represent the size of the underpant that's in the box on the box.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, and I think could we make an addendum to that, that the mannequins in the store should reflect the way the dress is going to look on the ladies who are buying it based on seeing the mannequin.
Well, you know what you need to do? You need to make at least one mannequin with super huge upper arms to let the ladies know, hey, fatty, that blouse ain't going to look good on you.
Right.
The chicks who have the huge upper arms and wear the blouse that shows nothing but their upper arms, yeah. The size of Earl Campbell's thighs. All right, here's a breakthrough. Boy, I'm excited about number two. Speaking of number two, I was at the racetrack last weekend. I had to use the porta potty. I had to make a number two in a porta potty.
Oh, no.
Oh, that is heartache. And then the worst sound a man can ever hear, a woman or a child that as well. When you hit that porta potty and your ass hits that wafer thin seat and you do a little offloading and you don't hear the kerplunk sound, you hear what sounds like Dookie just landing on a hot rock.
Oh,
just
no.
Plop. Just plop. And there's nothing, I'd rather hear a dentist drill than hear the sound of the Duke make the plop. You get it on the airplane every once in a while, too. You sit down on that toilet. You don't realize how much you want to hear that Duke hit the water. I have a new app. It's an app that goes on your phone. You put your earbuds in. It makes a nice kerplunk sound.
You bring your own sound effects to the porta potty.
It just sounds like you've dropped a briquette into a bucket of water.
I didn't need this visual at all, Ace.
Just saying, there's nothing more disconcerting than the crap on the hot rock. This is my new kerplunk app. Use it on the plane. Use it at the concert. Use it whenever you have to use the porta potty so you don't get the splat sound. You get the kerplunk. And number one, I am, I do a lot of kidding on this show.
Right.
Bean, Tammy. This is something that I'm in love with, and I'm dead serious. Been a lot of talk over the last few months about what to do with these prisoners, and the guys have gotten a death sentence, but we don't have the lethal injection. It's inhumane. Oh, a firing squad. What are we going to do with these guys? What do we do with them? How do we do it? Hang them? What year is it? Electric chair? What do we do with these guys? Well, you guys have heard about this big swirling pile of plastic garbage, this plastic garbage island that's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's like the size of Texas.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bunch of spent water bottles and diapers and crap like that. We just tow these guys out to the middle of the island and drop them off.
So what, they live on floating trash now?
Well, or not. I don't know. It's up to them. We can make a little game show out of it. You know, either way, we don't have to worry about the lawsuits and the lethal injection and the inhumane and all that kind of stuff. It's just, listen, you're going out to the middle Pacific Ocean. You can sit there and ride on a Sparklets bottle, and we'll see how long you last.
So if they could swim to safety, then they've earned their freedom.
They get two Nature Valley granola bars, and that's it. And then, by the way, if they can swim to safety, maybe that's God's will. Maybe they didn't shoot that guy at the 7-Eleven. And then it would always add that thing that you miss. I miss it from back in the day where you go, did Charles Manson live or did he die? I think he was spotted in Portland riding a mountain bike last week. Just that little, that D.B. Cooper thing.
That's
Look
right.
Look it up, kids.
Hey, look, you're friends with Mark Burnett. Surely you can get this show made. It sounds like a hit.
Would you not watch this show?
I would watch this show.
Serial killers dropped off in the middle of a floating garbage island.
Absolutely. I think we're about 5 years away from that being a real thing, by the way, and not just a Corolla wish list. Hey, Adam Carolla on stage tomorrow night at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center with special guests Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Jimmy Kimmel, Kevin and Bean. Hey, that's us. Also, the Police's Andy Summers from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band, The Police. We're going to give away some passes right now, Adam. Listen to this. Listen to this deal we have for the kids at 1-800-520-1067. They get tickets to the show. They get backstage passes. They get to meet you, the Ace Man, personally. Are you cool with that?
Yes, I is.
All right. Also, a copy of Adam's book called Not Taco Bell Material and a bottle of Mangria. This is the Adam Carolla prize package for the ages. If you want to go, give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 20 through 24, you win. And Ace, all of the listeners and I will see you tomorrow night in Redondo. Thanks for the time, sir.
Love you.
Well, that one's over.
Yeah.
That song just ran out of singing and playing, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, party people, quick reminder as Ralph joins us for the final Showbiz Beat that you can still get tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Just a few left in the back, but still great seats there at the Shrine. It's a great place for you to see a show. Jim Jefferies is headlining the bill for us this year with Patton Oswalt, who'll be here next week on the show, by the way. Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Ift will be here on Friday, by the way. Taylor Williams, Adam Carolla, house music by Mike Realm. It's going to be a great, great night of comedy, and you couldn't have picked better charities this year either. Ralph, your friends over at Cedars-Sinai NICU,
yes,
which is kind of nice in honor of your daughter's birthday today,
yep,
and Fisher House as well, who provide fantastic services for the family of military men and women who are undergoing surgeries and rehabilitation. So it's a great event all around. Tickets as low as just $25. We'd love for you to join us. We've got something to give away tomorrow on the show, but better still, go out and put your money to a great cause and come see us on April 5th at the Shrine. Get the details at krock.com. All right, what you talking about?
We're right there on the cusp of a moment. But
it was so close.
You blew it, man. We're right there. We almost had it, but no, not you. You had to pull it out.
I was heading for
you're
the water.
No fun. You're no
and
fun.
And I just
at all.
Pulled that steering wheel up just at the last possible second. I think I saved the flight in the military.
I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. And then, no, it made sense. You bastard.
You were so excited.
You bastard. Hey, great news. We finally have Klingon beer.
Yay!
Yeah,
come on.
Finally, we've been waiting for
this.
You
already gave us Walking Dead beer with goat's brains in it. Now you're giving us Klingon beer?
Now we get the first official beer of the Klingon Empire, thanks to the Tin Man Brewing Company of Evansville, Indiana. It is the first official beer of Star Trek, Klingon Warnog, it's called. And it's the perfect beer to have after a day of fighting for your honor to the death.
I'm sure Roland will buy it.
This is the first in a line of Star Trek beverages they've announced, so who knows what we'll get next. Romulan ale, Vulcan vodka, who knows what we're going to be drinking. But now you can get Klingon beer, and I couldn't be more ashamed of and embarrassed of my nerd community than by reading that story. Sad. Speaking of sad, Gwyneth Paltrow and Coldplay frontman Chris Martin are splitting up. Their marriage is over.
They just celebrated their 10th anniversary, and I guess 10 years was enough for Chris Martin putting up with the oil swishing around in her mouth and the goop and the, oh, I know everything. He just had enough. Or they're just separating amicably, depending on who you want to believe, them or me. I like to think Chris said no.
Our friend Jensen tweeted yesterday that he'll be a major Coldplay fan if Chris Martin does the honest thing and puts in the reason for divorce. Her blog was awful.
That would be great. It's kind of, you know, it's sad, of course, when any couple splits up. But Gwyneth Paltrow, who has spent so many years telling us how much she knows and how to live a good life, and she's got all the answers when it comes to child raising and marriage and diet and exercise. Everyone in America who's still married today can just point a finger and go, ha, ha.
That's true.
And we'll just all feel better about ourselves.
We may not have her her looks or her money or her Oscar, but at least we can keep a man or a woman.
We figured something out that she didn't know. Something out we didn't have to read on goop.com. Maybe there wasn't enough goop in that relationship. Maybe that was the problem.
Oh, there you go. Could be onto something there.
Bradley Cooper's single again. Star Magazine's reporting that he got dumped by his girlfriend Suki Waterhouse. Smoking hot supermodel.
Boy, would it take a lot, Lisa, to dump Bradley Cooper?
Well, if he's never there.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, you want everything, Lisa.
I kind of do.
You want your guy to be around
yeah.
as well as be Bradley Cooper?
Yep.
Here's the thing. Here's the risk you run. Even when you're a successful, handsome, talented actor. If you're dating a supermodel, she's always got options too, son. So, date well below your status is what I'm saying. Bradley next should date like a Hooters waitress or something. She's not going anywhere.
But right.
Suki Waterhouse, she's testing the free agency. Showtime, in a blatant attempt to get an Emmy, is moving its series Shameless from the drama category to the comedy category to boost its chance of winning.
What?
Yep. They want a damn Emmy.
I mean, that show
It's our drama, Shameless, about a family. It's a wacky comedy called Shameless about a crazy drunk and his wacky kids. Make up your mind.
It certainly does have some black humor, but it's in no way a comedy.
This is the Nurse Jackie phenomenon. This is how you get the Emmys for Nurse Jackie. They did the same thing. They put themselves in the comedy category, and it's a powerful medical drama with some comic overtones, and it wins. So
that's right, yeah.
I guess they're going fishing for that Emmy.
Yep.
Taking a page from Showtime, HBO is moving its show True Detective from the miniseries category to the drama category.
Oh, dear God.
In an attempt to try to get an Emmy for that show as well. But that means that show will likely be up against Breaking Bad, Mad Men, House of Cards, The Good Wife, Homeland, Masters of Sex, Boardwalk Empire, The Newsroom, Game of Thrones, and Downton Abbey.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, maybe that category is no cakewalk.
Maybe not the category you want to move True Detective into. This year's Primetime Emmy Awards, by the way, will be broadcast Monday, August the 25th on NBC. Who's hosting? Do we know who's hosting the Emmys this year?
I don't think we do.
Made that announcement?
Adele Dazeem.
Oh, that's right. Adele Dazeem.
It could be. It might be.
Off her huge performance at the Oscars. They've asked her to host the Emmys. While we're talking about movies as well, Madonna has announced she is directing another film. Whew. It's just, I guess, all right.
Well, I'll tell you, the last movie she did, Bean and I both saw it, and it was actually really good.
W.E.?
Yes.
The story of King Edward VIII of England?
It was a really good movie.
Oh, stop it, both
of
you.
It actually was. I hate to agree with the girl, but
everyone agreed with you. Everyone agreed with you, because it did make $583,000 at the box office.
Well, I'm sure people didn't watch it because it was Madonna, but that was a mistake. It was a really good movie.
No. Never hated both of you more than I do right now.
Isn't it possible that Madonna could have directed a good movie?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Thank you, Peter. The movie will be called Ade, A Love Story. The plot of the movie is about a biracial college student who falls in love with a Swahili man living on an idyllic island off the coast of Kenya. The two marry and envision a simple life together, but are caught in the middle of a civil war, which threatens to tear them apart. Nope.
Well, when you put it that way, it doesn't sound like it's going to be great, but you don't know, man.
Yeah, I do. And Bob Dylan is in the news. Hard to believe this, but apparently in the late 60s, he hunkered down in his basement with his backup band, The Band, and wrote a ton of songs. 24 of them wound up on an album called The Basement Tapes, which was eventually released in 1975. But T-Bone Burnett, the producer, says there's like 50 more songs Bob wrote back then. So what he's done with Dylan's OK is to ask some of his famous, talented friends like Elvis Costello, Mumford & Sons, My Morning Jacket, to write new music for the lyrics that Bob Dylan wrote in the 60s and then record those songs. The result is a new album called Lost on the River, The New Basement Tapes. And there will also be a Showtime documentary about the making of this album, along with performances by all those artists recording what, in essence, is songs co-written by Bob Dylan back when he was good.
When is all of this, Ralph? I must see and have this.
It does not give me a date regarding the release of the album or the Showtime documentary, but pretty soon.
Very exciting.
It's in Rolling Stone magazine, the article, if you want to pick that up and read it. With Kiss on the cover, by the way. Rolling Stone with Kiss on the cover from 1975. Rolling Stone, once again, as fresh as today's headlines. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jonathan Groff, the actor, is 29 years old today, as is Keira Knightley. Bianca Kalik, the lovely and talented and very funny, very pregnant actress who has the great misfortune of being married to Michael Catherwood. She is 37 years old today. Amy Smart is 39. Juvenile is also 39. T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy is 41. Leslie Mann, actress and wife of Judd Apatow, 42. James Iha, formerly of Smashing Pumpkins. They've got two new albums out on the way, by the way. Two new albums for 2015.
Bet they're both great.
I bet so, too. But there's going to be a lot of Jesus. Jennifer Grey is 54. Michael Imperioli is 48. Lisa Gibbons, the talk show host, is 57. Martin Short turns 64. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 66. Diana Ross turns 70. James Caan, one of my favorite actors, is 74. Alan Arkin, how great is he at everything that he does? 80 sure. years old. And Mr. Spock himself, the legendary Leonard Nimoy, celebrates his 83rd birthday today. It reminds me of that time when we were talking to Leonard about his book of plus-sized nude women he was shooting. He's, he's a very avid photographer.
Right.
And he had a book released, a hardback book of coffee table book of artistic nudes featuring large women in order to show that they are sexual beings and to capture their beauty on film. I remember Kevin being very sensitive to the issue.
I didn't know if I would do her justice. I didn't want to make fun of her. I didn't want to ridicule her in any way. I wanted to do her justice and do a decent job.
Didn't know if you had a wide enough angle lens.
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
What was that?
Yeah. Kevin almost got his ass kicked by Mr. Spock.
Mm-hmm. He did, and rightfully so, by the way.
Giving him the Vulcan neck pinch, and Kevin went, let it roll, falling down. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yes, you are, and yes, you do. Thanks so much, Ralph Garman. Hey, I know you're inclined not to come back for more of this nonsense tomorrow, but let me tell you about the Thursday morning Kevin and Bean show that we are lining up for you in the lab. You ready for this?
The lab is working on it, are they?
Butch, you know, we got the Kevin and Bean lab up on 413 that puts the show together every afternoon.
I got you.
Butch Vig joins us in the studio tomorrow, who we love, of course. He is the mega producer, speaking of Smashing Pumpkins and Nirvana and all those great bands. Plus, he's a member of Garbage, for God's sakes. He's a great dude, and he's joining us in studio in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. He's got a lot of cool stuff going on.
Can you bring Charlie?
It doesn't look like Shirley's involved in this appearance this time. Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew is going to be tomorrow. The hilarious comedian Hannibal Buress is going to be in studio with us tomorrow. He, of course, also on The Broad City. He's so great on that. Actor Christopher Maloney, I think, making his first appearance on The Kevin and Bean Show after all the years of him being on Oz and Law & Order SVU and so many great shows. He's got a new series called Surviving Jack. He joins us tomorrow. We'll talk to RJ Bell from pregame.com about how you can still make money with the Sweet 16 still ahead on the NCAA tournament. We got that. And for giveaways tomorrow, more tickets to see Captain America 2 Winter Soldier. We got more tickets to go see The Offspring. We got April Foolishness win a private box on tomorrow's show.
Jeez.
Right, Lisa? Huh?
Bribery. Anyone?
We got everything.
And a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. We'll see you tomorrow here on K-Rock.